to Luke chapter 16. Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke 16. We're going to begin in verse 19. We're going to go down through verse 31. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And let's pray. Lord, bless this message. Father, it's an unpopular subject, but it's a needy time and a needy message. Lord, this place called hell is awful. Worse than our minds can ever imagine. And the fact is, people go there. And Lord, help us today to see the reality of hell and understand that we need to do our dead level best to try to keep people out of hell. And the only way we can do that is get the gospel to them. We in ourselves cannot save one person from hell. But through you and by you, we can be that vessel, that vehicle, that tool in your hands to take the gospel message and see you deliver one from hell. Help us, Lord, to be the witnesses and testimonies we need to be. And help us to see this world, this wicked world that's all around us that we get so worn out with. Help us to see them through eyes of compassion and realize they're on their way to hell. So, Father, bless the message. Use this messenger as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this, Seven Surprises of Hell. Seven Surprises of Hell. In this passage before us, we have some very clear and very concise teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ on the subject that's very unpopular in his day and is still very unpopular today. The subject of Jesus' story is hell. You know, it's interesting to note that Jesus taught about this subject of hell oftentimes. He spoke often about the reality of hell. He warned repeatedly of the awfulness of hell. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, in verses 43 through 48, Jesus again is revealing how awful hell really is and how terrible it will be for those who go there. When he says that if our hand or our foot or our eye would cause us to offend and end up in hell, we'd be wise to pluck the eye out and cut the hand off than to take a chance that it would send us to hell. Today in our churches, we find a great dearth of teaching and preaching on the subject of hell. Many modernist theologians have even denied that hell is a real literal place of fire and torment. Recently, the Pope made that proclamation. Joel Osteen will not preach on hell, and I don't believe he even believes there is a hell. But as I said, I believe last week, I'll take Jesus' word for it. You know, we're in a day and age, many people today joke about hell. They make light of it, and some even dare to declare hell's the place they plan to go when they die. I've had people tell me that. You know, braggadociously, ask them that question. Do you know where you're going to go? If you died right now, do you know where you would go? Oh, yeah, I know where I'd go. Where would you go? I'd go to hell with all my friends. And, of course, my response is, you die and go to hell, you only wish that was the case. You know, it's a fact. No one's ever gone to hell and returned to tell us about hell, just as no one has gone to heaven and returned to tell us about heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ. What we know about hell is revealed to us in the Bible. And in this text, Jesus kind of pulls back the curtain on hell, and he reveals that it's a place of eternal suffering and torment for all that end up there. And here's the fact. Men can deny it. Men can try to explain it away. Men can ignore it. But nothing can change the fact of hell. This morning, I want to speak for a while on this subject that I like to refer to as seven surprises of hell. These are seven things I believe those who end up in hell are going to be surprised at. Number one, I think some are going to be surprised that hell really exists. There are going to be countless multitudes of folks who, seconds after their eyes close in death, are going to be shocked, are going to be surprised to learn that hell really does exist. And they're going to learn it by experience. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus referred to hell as a real place, as he did here in Luke chapter 16, as he did in Mark chapter 9, 41 through 50. And actually in a multitude of other places. The Bible refers many times to a place called hell, again revealing its existence. And yet I believe with all my heart there are many who are going to be surprised when they first learn that hell really does exist. Why are they going to be surprised? Well, I think because some believed hell was a myth or a fairy tale. People have told me that. I don't believe hell's real. I believe that's a myth. I believe it's a fairy tale. These saw hell as, to see hell in their life, they saw hell as something that had been dreamed up by men centuries ago. And it was dreamed up in order to control people. Think about it. Think about, and I'm not picking on the Catholics, but they kind of used it to control people and invented it for intimidation. Here's, they just wanted to scare people. They just wanted to be able to intimidate people. So they came up with this thing of hell. No. Jesus talked about it. And some are going to be surprised because they believed hell was nothing more than our life here on earth. I've had that said to me. Do you believe in a real, literal hell? Well, I believe hell is this life on earth. And again, my response to that is, friend, if you die and go to hell, you're going to wish this life on earth had been hell. Well, you know, I've had a lot of suffering. I understand that. But nothing you can suffer on this earth could ever come near suffering an eternity in hell in its torment. Because, all these tribulations, all these sufferings. And now these people end up in hell and these poor, deluded souls are going to realize how wrong they really were. Some are going to be surprised because some believe the grave is man's ultimate end. I've run into some of those. How many of you have run into somebody who thinks all you do is go into the grave? That's it. I had a man recently knocked on. Well, somebody told me it was a good contact. So I went by on a Saturday afternoon, and I knocked on the door. And he and his wife came to the door, and I introduced myself, and she excused herself. I thought something was strange there, but okay. And he said, let me step out on the porch and talk with you. I said, okay. So he came out on the porch, and I gave him my track, said somebody was by Thursday and talked with you a little bit. I wanted to come out and talk with you. He said, we have nothing to talk about. I said, really? He said, yeah, I don't believe any of what you're saying and what you're peddling there. And he went on, you know. And I said, sir, what's going to happen to you when you die? And he said, I'm going to hole in the ground. That's the end of it. I said, sir, that's not the end of it. You are an eternal being. You're going to live somewhere forever, and it's either heaven or hell. He said, thank you. That's enough conversation, and off he went. A lot of people believe that that's the end of it. We're just like the animals. You know, animals don't have a living soul. Men, humans have a living soul. It's going to live somewhere forever. And they think we're just like the animals. When we die, they just plant us in the ground. That's the end of that. You cease to exist. They believe man is nothing more than the highest form of animals. Sadly, these folks are going to be shocked to learn that they do have an eternal destiny. And now hell is going to be theirs forever. I thought about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now they believe there's going to be 144,000 that go to heaven and some. But anybody who wasn't a Jehovah's Witness and dies is going to go to the grave, and at judgment day they're going to be annihilated. Cease to exist. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Eternal life is eternal. And you're going to live eternally either in heaven or hell. And it's amazing to me that people can deny hell and people can believe that, oh, I'm just going into the grave, but it doesn't change the fact. And when they find out the fact, it's going to be too late. Many are going to be surprised that hell really does exist. You know, they get angry at us when we tell them. They don't like to hear that, but we're just trying to keep them out of hell. There's also those who are going to be surprised that they're in hell. There are going to be people who are going to be surprised where they ended up. See, many who end up in hell know that they deserve to be there. They no doubt will hate being there, but they'll know this is where they ought to be, their just reward. I'm thinking about people like Hitler, Judas, Herod, who sentenced Jesus to crucifixion along with Pilate. Some of those kind of people are going to understand, I deserve to be here. But there's going to be, I think, a multitude of people who are going to be surprised they ended up in hell because they were deluded during their lives here on earth. These are people who followed the wrong teachings and false religions and thought they were doing the right thing, and now they end up in hell. Proverbs 16:25 talks about the danger of that very thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many, many, many are going to die and go to hell, and many of them are going to be surprised they ended up there. Some of them are going to be folks that thought their religion could keep them out of hell. Well, I was religious. I went to church. I did this. I did that. My name was on the church membership roll. My priest told me, if you're a part of the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church, your place in heaven was guaranteed. And here I am in hell. That's going to be a sad day. But it's going to happen. Some people thought they're going to end up there who thought the sacraments was their way to heaven. Well, I was baptized. I made a confirmation. I had the last rites. I had this sacrament. I took the Eucharist. They end up in hell. You know, these are people who were sincere. I think about those Mormon fellows who come around. How many of you have been visited by them? You know, they ride their little bicycle, they wear the white shirts, nice slacks, and they have their little badge, Elder so-and-so. And they're nice people. They're cordial, you know, not like the Jehovah's Witness, who are argumentative. But anyway, they're cordial, and they give a year to 2 years of their lives at their own expense to do what they're doing. And you know, they're sincere in what they're doing. They really believe what they're doing is right. But don't ever forget, you can be sincerely wrong. Yeah, so a lot of people who are sincerely wrong are going to end up in hell and be surprised they ended up there. What about all that time I pedaled my bicycle? What about all those doors I knocked on in Eastern Pennsylvania for those 2 years and gave of my life, and now I'm burning in hell? Surprise, surprise. Some thought following a creed or a particular doctrine would keep them out of hell. Don't forget Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation isn't nothing we do, but some people thought it was. People were surprised. They thought their religion would keep them out of hell. Some people are going to be surprised. They're in hell, but they thought their moral, upright lifestyle was going to keep them out of hell. See, some people think it's possible to live above sin in this world. Now, I haven't met many, but every once in a while you run into somebody who thinks they're not a sinner. Yeah, I never sin. And, you know, Pentecostals believe you can lose your salvation if you sin it away. I remember Pastor Fedena encountered one time, and he was questioning the fellow about that very thing. And he said, you believe you can send away your salvation? He said, well, yeah. He said, would you ever sin? He said, no. Not since I got saved. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you're telling me you never told a lie? You never had a bad thought? You never. And I felt, wait. No, those are mistakes. Listen, they're deluded. No. Your good works. There's not enough good works for us to earn heaven. And it's not possible for us to live above sin that we would deserve heaven. We're all sinners, the Bible says, and we deserve the penalty, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some thought their good works or good deeds could keep them out of hell. Many believe helping others, giving to charitable causes, being involved in church work, paying tithes, living morally, reading the Bible, being benevolent, on and on we could go, that would somehow earn them heaven. I've encountered folks, and you ask them, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And they say, yeah, why? I'm a good person. And they start telling you all the good things they did. And I ask them, do you really believe that being a good person gets you into heaven? Well, yeah, I think so. And then I ask them the question, how good do you have to be? Who makes the rule? Where's the list? How do you know when you've been good enough? No, the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. Yeah. All our works are filthy rags before God. We're saved by grace, not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, the Bible says. It is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Listen, no man is ever going to get to heaven and look God in the eye and say, I'm here because of my good works. No man's ever going to pull out his big list of what I did and say, here's why I'm here. No. You'll take your big list and burn in hell forever with it. You know, you got good people, nice people, benevolent people, like the Shriners and the Kiwanis Club and the Lions Club and the Masons and the Boy Scouts and the Peace Corps and all these people that do benevolent things, social workers and all these kind of people, and yet, unless they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to die and go to hell. I remember when Mother Teresa died, and they were proclaiming she's a saint, she's in heaven. And Mother Teresa was a wonderful person. She gave herself to taking care of the poor and the needy her whole life. But unless she had accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, she's not in heaven. You can't get to heaven by being benevolent your whole life. Some are going to be surprised that hell exists. Some are going to be surprised that they ended up there. Some are going to be surprised by the suddenness of hell. Wow. When we read this thing in Luke 16, it says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Listen to me. People go to hell in a hurry. I'm going to say that again. People go to hell in a hurry. Hell, for the unsaved person, is one breath away. 1 second away. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's the appointed of all men once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, there's no soul sleep. Some religions want to teach that when you die, you go in the grave and you sleep until judgment day or whatever. No, that's false. Paul reminds us, and he's talking about believers, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, or present with the Lord. So the instant a believer dies, we step into the presence of Jesus Christ. So that means the instant an unsaved person dies, they wake up in hell. That quick. The blinking of an eye. There's no purgatory. Catholic Church for years taught. And I remember when the last pope died, they said he had to go to purgatory and get prayed out of there. The pope. Good night. If he can't get to heaven, who can? But see, if you don't know what they taught that when you die, if you didn't have mortal sin on your soul, you went to purgatory, and then people here prayed for you and had masses said for you and lit candles for you to try to buy your way out of purgatory. And when enough masses had been said and candles had been lit and masses had been said that you were now absolved of your sin, God would then take you to heaven. Talk about a fairy tale. By the way, that's never mentioned in the Bible, was never mentioned by Jesus. And I don't know if they're still really pushing that idea. There is no purgatory. And I tell people all the time, you understand that when you die, there's only two places you can go. It's either heaven or hell. And you're going to one of them. Yeah. And whether you know Jesus as your Savior is going to decide which one you go to. Mm-hmm. There's a fourth bunch. A lot of people surprised at who else is in hell. What do you mean by that? Well, we know that the vile and the wicked of all ages are going to be there. Nero, Jack the Ripper, Hitler, Stalin, Jeffrey Dahmer, on and on we could go. So that's understood. They're going to be there. But they're going to be, some people are going to be surprised because the religionists are going to be there. The people involved in the cults and the false religions and the counterfeit faiths, the Muslims, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Scientologists, the priests, the rabbis, the monks, the nuns, etc., 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 are going to be in hell. I thought about Jim Jones going to be there. Some of you little older folks remember that. Joseph Smith will be there. Charles Taze Russell. It's interesting, Charles Taze Russell and the Russellites will be there. They later became the Jehovah's Witnesses. But they're going to be there. And the reason Charles Taze Russell started the Russellites, the Jehovah's Witness, was because he hated the doctrine of hell and eternal punishment, and it was preached at where he was going to church, so he decided to go start a religion where there was no hell. And now he's there. David Koresh, on and on we could go. The religionists. These people run around saying, you got to do it our way. No, you got to do it the Bible way. But not only religionists, how about the good, moral people who are going to be in hell? I'm talking about people who live good, moral lives. You say, oh, preacher, they're not. Oh, yeah. Good, moral life won't save you. Oh, I remember visiting a fellow in North Carolina. And, you know, we were in Bible Belt. Everybody went to the Baptist church. And everybody was saved, you know. Yeah, my name's on the church roll, blah, blah, blah. I was visiting a fellow one day. And I was witnessing him about needing to be saved, going to heaven. He looked at me and said, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you this. I said, what's that? He said, if anybody's in heaven, my grandma's in heaven. I said, really? I'm expecting her to tell me she loved Jesus. She was a godly woman. She was good and kind and moral person. I told him, well, sir, That's a wonderful thing. And I hope she knew Christ as her Savior. See, this man had the wrong idea about how you get to heaven. I tell people all the time, good moral people are going to be in hell. Because they didn't come to Christ. You know, the young, the old, the rich, the poor, the righteous, the vile, the wicked, the obscure, the popular, the well-known, all kinds of people are going to be in hell. And they're going to be there because they weren't saved, born again. And then people are going to be surprised at the awfulness of hell. You know, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And I like to think that's talking about heaven. And God telling us, we can't perceive in our human minds how wonderful heaven's going to be. It's just beyond us. But so is the fact that we can't, in our human minds, comprehend how awful hell is going to be. Oh, it's going to be a place of eternal torment. Yeah. Jesus said it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So we understand there's going to be fire. This rich man here reminds us there's going to be torment like thirst. And there's going to be anguish. I also believe the fire's going to be so hot that it doesn't even bring light. That hell's going to be a dark place. Because darkness, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And people say, well, how can there be fire and darkness at the same time? And I never understood that either. I just believed it. Until a few years ago, something happened. And it really made me think. There was an Indy 500 race. And there was a wreck. And the fella's fuel tank exploded and went all over him, the driver. And he came out of that car on fire. The crews were running with fire extinguishers. He was burning, but there was no flame. That fuel that they had burned so hot, you couldn't see the flames. But the man was burning. And I thought, boy, what a picture of hell. A fire so hot, burning, and yet no light. Think about the torture of darkness forever and ever. You realize darkness means, you know, these people say, I'm gonna party hardy with all my friends. They won't even know their friends or see their friends. They'll be alone in darkness for all eternity. Suffering. The worms eating Adam and never being devoured. The fire burning and never being quenched. Thirsting and never able to get a drink. Torment forever and ever. Some are going to be surprised by the permanence of hell. I said, there is no purgatory. Listen, once a person is in hell, there's no getting out. You're there forever. It's too late. The decision on where you're going to spend eternity has to be made in this life. If you die without Christ, the next second you're in hell. Oh, I tell people, listen, this is the most important decision you ever make in your life. It determines your eternal destiny. It determines if you're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And if you go to hell, there's no getting out. There's no get out of hell free card once you're there. You know, a lot of people, as I said, have been deluded into thinking, well, you know, you go for a little while and then, and some even think you go for a little while and be annihilated. No. No, over in Revelation it says you're cast in a lake of fire to suffer torment with the devil and his bunch forever and ever. Do you realize it wouldn't be as bad if annihilation was true? If you only suffered so long and then you were just annihilated and ceased to exist? But that's not how it is. You live forever in torment. One final thing. This has all been bad news. Here's another surprise they're going to have in hell. They're going to be surprised at how easy it would have been to avoid going to hell. See, because I believe people in hell are going to know now. All those things they trusted in and all the times they denied it, whatever it was, and all those times those people came to their door or interrupted them at the supermarket or gave them a tract or tried to get them to come to church and hear the gospel or whatever it was. Now they're going to realize that's all I needed to do. Is accept Jesus. And I wouldn't be here. And I don't doubt the demons of hell are going to prod them about it. Ha, 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 why didn't you accept Jesus? You wouldn't be here. For all eternity, reminding them, hey, remember when those people came by and you told them to get off your porch? You remember that now? How'd that work out for you? Hey, remember that coworker that you called Jesus freak and you used to pick at him and you used to do everything you could to irritate him? You used to go over and cuss in front of him just to make him mad? Remember that? Yeah, that one who tried to keep you out of hell. Look where you are. Regrets in hell. Why didn't I listen? And how about the religionist? I did all these things trying to earn heaven, and all I had to do was accept what he did. How could I be so stupid? They're going to be surprised. I didn't have to be here. If I would have just listened, if I would have just come to Christ. Hell's an awful place. And you know, God didn't want anybody to go there. He made a way. But there'll be people in hell who refused his way. You know, some of them are going to be there because they refused to give up a pet sin. Well, if I get saved, I have to quit. Fill in the blank. Some of them refuse to get saved because of family ties. If I get saved, my family will disown me. You know how that feels. Better to have the family disown you than to wake up in hell. Some of them are even there because they refuse to give up their religion. The tradition of their religion holds them. Well, my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my mother and my dad and all my family, they all are this religion. You telling me it's wrong? I'm telling you what the Bible says. There's going to be a lot of surprised people in hell. Some surprised that hell's a reality, it exists. Some are going to be surprised that I'm here. Some are going to be surprised at how fast they went there. Some are going to be surprised at how awful it really is. Some are going to be surprised that it's so permanent. I'm in this and there's no way out. And some are really going to be surprised how easy it would have been to escape hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, hell's a real place, and people are going there every day. Many of them don't even realize it. Many of them been deluded. Many of them been misled. Many of them are just foolish. But our responsibility is to warn them. We're to be like the guy when the bridge is out. Don't go there. Don't go there. Now, we can't stop them. All we can do is warn them. And that's our job. And we need to get busy. How did you get saved? Somebody came and told you. Aren't you glad? Yeah, you don't have the threat of hell on you if you're saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't ever worry personally about dying and going to hell. See, I know I can't go there because if I went there, Jesus would have to go with me. Because I have him. No, I've been delivered. But it's not by anything I did. Hey, do you know some people going to be surprised about hell? Maybe need to get busy. Get a track in their hands. Get a word of witness. Pray for them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we know hell's an awful place. And we know that the majority of people in this world are headlong for hell right now. You said so. You said the way to destruction is wide and many enter therein. Lord, we know it's our responsibility to warn them, to do everything we can to stand in their way, that they would literally have to climb over us to get into hell. Help us as your people to be faithful to that responsibility. Help us to see the people headed for hell as deluded and misled and mistaken. They're in darkness. They don't understand. And 1 second after they die, it's going to be too late. Help us to have compassion, have a burden. And might we put feet to that compassion and burden. And Lord, if there's somebody in this room that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, might today be that day that they come to Christ. Might they realize they're headed for hell. It's not my judgment. It's not the Baptist judgment. It's what you say in your word. It's the Bible. It says they cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. And that today they would make that decision to get saved and settle that issue. Lord, bless this invitation. Speak to hearts. Move in the hearts of people. They'll have a burden, and they'll have a willingness to do their dead level best, try to keep people from going to hell. I pray in Jesus' name.